February the 26th, 57th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, he is out of Redway, but enjoying life anyway, Brett Fabry from the California Highway Patrol.
Nice to see you, Brian.
How bad's the slide down there?
It's not too bad. One lane in each direction. Caltrans is doing some work to try to take some of that down. I'm not sure how they're going to rebuild a lot of that, but they do a pretty good job.
That's okay. They got slip-outs up by Klamath, too. So
yeah, they do.
Yeah. Skill sets vary.
Yeah.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking. Well, obviously, some of the activities have been going on in the news the last little bit. We'll spend some time talking about. But Brett's also got a couple of good things that we'll kick things off with, including one of the bigwigs coming to town.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hopefully, you'll be invited to the event.
I am invited. Our Deputy Commissioner, Ramona Prieto, is coming up here to present an award to Fortuna PD.
And you even know his name?
Her name.
Ramon?
Ramona.
Ah, see, clarity, man.
Yes, clarity. Ramona.
And we'll have more clarity when we return.
The best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Time is 3:12. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Brett Fabry, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Robert Orban. Quote, never raise your hand to children. It leaves your midsection unprotected. Yep. So, kind of having the big brass coming to town must be kind of cool.
It's nice. They've been up here a couple times. Commissioner Farrow was up here for Ken Marshall's highway dedication. Ramona Prieto, our deputy commissioner, is coming up to give an award to Fortuna PD for their efforts toward DUI enforcement, and is also actually going to give a community service award to a member of the Fortuna community that did some pretty heroic things in an accident down in my area in the summertime. And so she's going to be presenting those two awards on Monday, March 2nd, that would be, 6 o'clock at the Fortuna City Council meeting. It'll be at the very beginning of the meeting that they're going to present those awards.
Do you have a lot of citizen involvement, assistance, help out, whatever phrase you want? There was a situation in Eureka, was it earlier this week, last week, where the guy with the shotgun was running down, chasing down. Yeah, you get a situation like this where people are involved in the law enforcement element. Is that something you typically will recommend, whether it's on rescue or whether it's on apprehension?
We would prefer that you not be a vigilante and be a good witness if you witness a crime. And because, you know, we don't want somebody to get injured chasing somebody down the street. In this instance, it was a person who stopped to assist people who had been involved in an accident down an embankment, and he went down there and tried to help them get out of the vehicle. We don't want anybody to get hurt, obviously, but if you feel capable, like you could help out, if you're the first one there, sometimes you can really make a difference.
So what should we do? What shouldn't we do? In an assist.
Yeah, don't do anything over your head. You know, don't put yourself in danger where now we have an incident where the people who were involved in the accident need to be rescued, and you as the person who tried to help them need to be rescued too, because now we have two separate incidents. But, if you think that you can help out and it's beneficial, first thing we want you to do is call us. So call 911 to get us on the way, and we'll be there as soon as we can. But if you can provide any assistance, just be very careful.
That's one of the Troy Nicolini was in last week, and he was talking about water rescue. You know, if it's on the beach, pretty much don't, because it's really tough to get back out. You mentioned the embankment, and I know there was the situation at the Sugar Bowl also.
Mm-hmm.
If it's really steep or something like that, and you don't happen to be a mountaineer type, just being there, being a set of eyes waiting for your guys to show up, is that helping out?
Absolutely. You know, sometimes you can provide us information that we don't know. We may keep you on the phone and keep getting information from you as far as exactly where it is, what we might need. You know, if, hey, this car is 150 feet down about. This is what kind of car it is. It gives us an idea of what we might need to get that vehicle back up. But water rescue, like you were saying, is extremely dangerous. I would not recommend water rescue because people are not as good as swimmers as you think. And that current, it may not look very swift until you're swimming in it, and then it's extremely swift. And it's very cold. The water here is extremely cold, and it won't take long before your muscles lock up and you could now be a victim.
You guys went to the same water rescue school, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. I don't do water rescue.
Yeah. Well, and if, let's say if a car is in the water, whether it's a creek in the summertime or do you do anything differently because of that? I mean, you're still calling 911, I would imagine.
Yeah, we rely on the fire department has rescue people that have some training in that, or they know of people that, but we don't get involved in that just because of the mere fact we don't want to become a victim as well, because you just don't know how swift that current might be. It may look like it's slow, but these currents around here sometimes are moving pretty quick.
What about traffic control and flares and things like that before you guys show up? Should we be striking the match and getting the flare lit up just as a general notification that there's something ahead?
It can be helpful, but you know, there's a caution in that too, is that we don't want you to light anything on fire, especially if it's in the summertime, and we don't want you in the traffic lane because we don't want you to get hit and be a victim. So you know, we encourage even our officers, if you're off duty, is to be a good witness first, is what we encourage, and so we encourage that to citizens as well, as be a good witness.
But if there is a situation, if you do a flare, keep it on the asphalt.
Yeah, keep it on the asphalt. Yeah, just make sure you're being safe yourself. We don't want anything to happen to you out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that would be a chance to practice your vaudeville act.
We don't want to have two collisions out there, one involving you and one involving that vehicle that you're trying to help.
As basic as that sounds, I would imagine occasionally that does happen.
It does, yeah. Sometimes it's very beneficial. There's a few times where, you know, sometimes they may have gotten themselves in a little danger, and we don't want to see that happen.
No kidding. Duh. What is reasonable? I mean, if I'm going to be there paying attention, let's say in Southern Humboldt, how long would I typically need to wait before one of your guys, one of the sheriffs, volunteer fire guys showed up? Is there any kind of a...
There isn't really any kind of long time frame. I mean, it could be just a couple minutes. Our guys could be just around the corner. The sheriff's office could be right there. You know, a lot of times the fire chiefs down there are a really, really good group. You know, Brian Anderson and that group, they do a great job. And sometimes those fire chiefs will be right there on scene, first one on scene. They have a, you know, their own fire truck that they bring out, and they'll have their people already going, so you may not be waiting too long.
Just to be wise, what should you travel with in your rig? What should you have in your car or truck?
You should have plenty of water. You should have some food, just in case you break down somewhere. Especially, we talked about, or you know, we're talking about 36 and the problems associated with out there. If you travel all the way across 36, there's not a lot of traffic out there. So if you break down, you may not see a car for a while. And so, are you prepared to be sheltered down for 8, 10, 12 hours?
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Brett Fabry.
Hey, Faith, you want to hang out?
Not now. I'm filling out my FAFSA.
Your what?
It's the application for student aid, and it's my ticket to getting funding for the tech training I'm going for. Having a FAFSA on file is the gateway to getting a ton of other aid. Remember Steve? He didn't qualify for federal aid, but because he had a FAFSA on file, he got thousands of dollars from the university he went to.
Have you got more copies?
Go to decadeofdifference.org for the workshop schedule, but hurry up. The deadline's March 2nd.
It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Brett Fabry. So, Brett, you got an opportunity, and I during the break here, we were talking a little bit about some of the challenges in an economic recession that I would suggest the West Coast still is, with the exception of San Francisco. I would think people would be knocking on your door saying, Mr. Brett, how do I get to work in the CHP? How can I be an officer? How can I help you out in the office? How can I? Government, Benny's, all that kind of stuff that's there, and a career if that's really what you want to do.
Yeah, it's challenging, you know, because recruiting, you know, we're competing against every other police and sheriff department in the state. And, you know, right now it doesn't seem like there's as many people coming to law enforcement as there might have been in the past. Right now we have an open enrollment, or I should say open enrollment, a recruiting period coming March 2nd to March 5th is when you can apply for the CHP. You can do it online, and that's how we do our applications. We do it online, and then you'll have a written test. You'll get notified of a written test after you apply during that three-day period. And we have an emphasis on hiring women traffic officers. Because the reflection of the population is not what it should be for our department, and so we're looking to hire some more women CHP officers. So,
how many different types of jobs are there?
There's a ton.
I mean, I think most probably think either the glory of being an area commander. Thought I'd get you.
I know.
Or you're driving a car, or you're behind a desk answering phone.
Yeah, we have, you know, we have different ranks, you know, from officer, sergeant, lieutenant, captain, and on up. And, you know, within each one of those ranks, there's many job opportunities, you know, between being an investigator, working canines, riding a horse around the Capitol, you know, bikes and planes, doing investigations, backgrounds. We have people that do administrative jobs in the administrative side of our department down in Sacramento. And so there are many opportunities for you to have a very diverse career. You know, you're going to start off working road patrol, but then after that, it's the sky's the limit as far as what kinds of stuff you want to do, and you can live anywhere in the state. To me, that is the biggest draw for us, is that if you get tired of living up here, you put transfer in, you go somewhere else. If your kids go away to college somewhere and you want to be close to them, you put your transfer in, you go away and you live closer. Or you want to go to San Diego, which is beautiful, but there's a lot of people. Or if you want to go work out in the desert, or you want to go work in the snow, there's all those opportunities are there.
When you say recruitment, is it just for the traffic officers, or is it for some of those administrative and the assistants and some of the business side of the...
No, this is all just for the entry level, getting into our academy, and then once you graduate from our academy and you do your 1 year in your first assignment, then you can apply and go anywhere you want where your seniority or where your experience will take you.
Historically, I know the first year was spent in the places nobody wanted to go.
Talking about the big cities.
Typically.
Yes.
Yes. Is that still the case?
No. You know, I'm getting, there's a class actually graduating today, and I am getting four new officers up here right out of the academy. So they'll be involved in the training program down there. Captain Adam Yeager is getting one out of the academy to his office up in Humboldt. And there's a lot more openings statewide than there used to be. And so
is that because of just an aging force or the need for more officers?
I think it's a combination of both. You know, I mean, it's tougher to move around now. And so I think people are staying. So you get people are retiring. You know, we had a large amount of people that were hired in the 70s that have now retired. And so those spots are now opening, and it's definitely changed. It's quite different.
Would you recommend it for your kids?
I would. Yeah, I think the Highway Patrol is a good job. And even if you don't want to be an officer, we have a non-uniform side that does a lot of stuff. And there's a lot of opportunities from computer stuff to, you know, working with grants and working with budgets. I mean, there is a ton of different stuff you can do in our department that is not wearing a badge.
You mentioned some of the other law enforcement agencies that you guys compete with. Do people tend to go from the state position to the locals? If there's a transfer, is it state to the local? Is it local to the state? Is it local to local? What's that dynamic?
Usually, once they come to the Highway Patrol, they usually don't go to a city or county sheriff. We do get some people that go the opposite, like myself. I went from a city police department to the Highway Patrol. That's more common. A lot of people don't want to go to the Highway Patrol because, you know, they want to live and stay up here, and that's okay. They don't want to go to our academy in Sacramento. It's a live-in academy. And, you know, they don't want to take the chance that maybe I might have to go to Los Angeles for a year. But it's a very small portion of your life when you look at a 30-year career.
So if you go to the academy and then you graduate from the academy, you're up for grabs, or you're able to pick and choose? Local kid goes to the academy, wants to work in Humboldt or down Lord County.
Yeah.
Can he then look.
It's a total roll of the dice, and so when they're in the academy, when they're nearing graduation, they will get what's called a dream sheet, and it has all the offices that have openings, and they put their name in for every place that they want to go, and then it goes by the last four of your Social Security number, and that's where you go.
Starting with 4-0.
Starting with 9999.
They go
backwards.
The first guy?
Yes.
That'd be middle of the pack. I'd probably end up.
And nobody knows why we do it that way, but we've done it that way for a long time.
So whoever's in the nines knows going in.
They have a pretty good shot to get whatever is on that list first. Yes.
And, you know, you can't barter that number, can you?
No.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Brent Fabry.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Brett Fabry. Brett, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there, certainly, crashes are part of your life. Accidents are part of your life.
Yes.
Collisions, et cetera, et cetera. The number that we've had, I was talking with Dan last week, maybe the first part of this week. If last year was a record setter with 15, that's what, two a month, one or two a month? You've already screeched past that one, and you're going for a high octane territory here. Is there any rhyme or reason to what's going on? And whether it was on 299 or 101 or 36, mm-hmm. or I guess the only place so far is in Shelter Cove. But who knows what may happen this weekend.
Yes. You know, in 2014, we had 41 people that lost their lives on highways on the North Coast. And, you know, we've had some very tragic incidents. The two teenage girls that died on 36 just last week. Unfortunately, a bad incident like that just sends home that continued message of you can't drink and drive. It's going to, you know, there's nothing good is going to come out of that. And it's very unfortunate, you know, they're on a road that's pretty tricky to drive, you just have to be very careful, and you just never know what can happen. And it's just sad that, you know, some young people lost their lives out there.
How much of that is engineering related? I think most of us look at 36. It kind of reminds us of what 299 used to be. 30, 40 years ago, with all the switchbacks, you know, the only thing that's missing now is logging trucks, just to kind of add a little bit more spice into it. But it really, when I think of a highway, I do not think of switchbacks.
Yeah,
I do not think of those narrow parts where you have to back up.
Yeah, it's challenging out there because 36, you know, was built many, many, many years ago. And at the time, you know, we didn't have the kinds of vehicles that we have now. And so that roadway, was built. And a lot of it is, you know, built through an ancient forest. And so it's very expensive to try to realign portions of that roadway and preserve the nature that's out there as well. And so that's the tricky part. And, you know, with the amount of people that travel on 36, I mean, that's the most alarming thing is there's a lot of people that travel on 36. And I use that road a lot. And you have to be careful and you have to really be paying attention. There's a lot of turns. And like you said, there's a lot of switchbacks. And if you're not familiar with that and you go into a turn too fast, there's no embankment to fall down. There's usually a tree right there. And that's never a good thing.
Yeah, tree or cliff.
Yes.
Either way is not a good outcome if you're headed that way. So what is it, people just relaxing their own standards that are leading? Or is it the younger ones that are involved? Are they just not had enough life underneath their belt to realize, okay, you got three or four beers in you, or the equivalent of whatever your favorite weakness is. This is not just la, la, la. This is... up or down. This is
it's real life. It's real life, and you know, we strongly encourage. I mean, we tell people. I mean, you hear it from the time you first get your driver's license is not to drink and drive, but you know. Beside that, even if you're not drinking and driving, it's your speed. If you're driving too fast, you're an inexperienced driver, you go into that turn a little too fast, and before you know it, you know, the rear is starting to slide out on you, and now you lose control, maybe you overcorrect, and there's no margin for error out there with the roadway as narrow as it is and, as like I said, as tight as some of those turns are. And so, you know, we tell people, that is not a road to take lightly. And, you know, now with the rising technology, and so people will Google ways to get places, and it will tell you that the easiest way to go from Fortuna to I-5 is Highway 36. And it is a decent route, but it's not a route that you can make some time on. It's definitely something you need to be aware of.
Well, even 20 is a little anxious in a couple of spots.
Yes.
If you're not paying attention, let alone 36. I would think I'm surprised, frankly, that there aren't more coming out to the coast. Somebody going up I-5 and they want to go to the coast. And okay, I got 20, I got 36, I got 299. And then if I miss the exits, 199.
Yeah, and based on where you are.
Like, yeah. That would be.
It will tell you that you might go 36 when really that's not the safest route. And I'll tell you that it is to the mile the exact same distance from Fortuna to Sacramento if you go down 101 and across 20, or you go Highway 36 to I-5 and down. It is exactly to the mile the same amount.
Two parallel highways, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it seems interesting, but we don't tend to hear about accidents and collisions with RVs.
Correct.
We've had a couple with the trailers pulling the boats, but it tends to be either the locals or commercial rigs.
Yeah. It's interesting when you drive out there and you actually see somebody out there that's pulling a trailer, you can almost see the fear in their eyes of, I can't believe I got on this route, and I probably shouldn't be on this route with this trailer that I have. I probably should have taken a different route, but maybe that's what their app told them on their phone was the fastest way to get over to the coast.
And there's probably only one thing that's worse. I'd be trying to back up
on
that. So they really are kind of put to the wall a little bit with that stuff.
There is a project, though, that's starting here, which is going to Caltrans is working on it now with some engineering, but they're going to end up actually straightening out some of those curves up on top where there's no middle line. They have a project that's in the works to fix a lot of that portion out there, and so we're excited about that.
Yeah, give a little bit of cushion.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. 299 is not done, but I'm sure that they're seeing a lot of positive stuff with the work that they've been doing there.
It's amazing, the moving mountains over there, I call it. What they've done over there on the backside of Buckhorn Summit is phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah, it's almost as impressive as it was just one big old bridge.
Yes.
Jeez. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Brett Fabry.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Brett from the CHP, man. Has there been an attempt? I know there's been a fair amount of market presence about don't drink and drive.
Yes.
Okay. What about slow it down, stupid? Or something like that. You know, Even in the safety corridors, whether it's the one that's out we can see from here or the one that you get to play with down in Fortuna, the difference is so non-different.
Yeah, driving 10 to 15 miles over the speed limit for 10 miles may save you a minute or a minute and a half. And the likelihood of you being involved in an accident because you're driving over the speed limit like that increases greatly for that minute, minute and a half. And
stone cold sober.
Yeah, and we're just talking about speeding. Just somebody driving too fast. We had somebody that that passed me in the corridor yesterday, was weaving in and out of traffic and tailgating and cut somebody off, and finally we got the person stopped, and they were late. You know, how late are you? Well, I was supposed to be there at 8:30. Well, this is 8:45. You're already 15 minutes late. You know, I can't imagine that it was life or death for you to get where you were going.
Were you unmarked?
I was in an unmarked car.
Okay, yes. I thought, yeah. Boy, that was really impressive if pulled out in front of the rig.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, it's amazing when you think about it, such a short distance and you drive so much faster that really you're saving yourself a minute or a minute and a half. And is that really worth getting involved in an accident, crashing your car, crashing somebody else's car, maybe injuring or somebody or yourself? It's just not worth it.
The ones I love, of course, is more of a Eureka-centric thing, are either the safety quarter guys going 60 or 65. I think, you know, if you're going 65, posted 50, but the highway was 65 before, okay, maybe you missed the blinking light. You know, maybe a car lined up or something. Okay, you know, once.
Yeah.
You know, if it says Tennessee, okay, I get it. You know, and you guys are probably going to give them a warning more than anything else in that kind of a scenario. But the weaving in and out guys, and the ones that are going to either CR or Humboldt, must be going 70, 75.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got to find a spot to dive in, hit the exit, and still stop in time or make the turn.
Yes.
Holy Toledo. I mean,
the people that are funny is, as you come into Eureka, there will be people that will pass you around Fields Landing, King Salmon, and they're going really, really fast. And you get up to the stoplight at Kmart, and there you are. You're right behind them. And so they didn't make any time, and yet they put other people's lives in danger. And if you think about that, it happens all the time that you'll see somebody go by, and before you know it, you're right behind them in downtown Eureka.
Well, I have to get up nice and close so they remember me.
You're easy to remember.
Yeah. Well, so is the rig, so we're doing it together. Just for reminder purposes for anybody who may be listening this afternoon, what is the rule about merging? You mentioned Fields Landing. I'm thinking Humboldt Hill. Coming down, these guys come down, hell-bent for leather. What do you mean I have to wait for a space? They have to make space for me. Is that really California vehicle
no.
code?
The traffic lanes, so if you are on the main portion of US 101 and you have cars that are merging onto King Salmon, the people that are on 101 have the right-of-way. The people who are merging do not have the right-of-way. They have to merge safely. Now, it is a good practice as a defensive driver to move over if you can safely move over and allow that person to merge. That's being a good defensive driver. But by law, the person who's on 101 has the right-of-way.
I saw one Wednesday. You would have loved this. Three of the big Caltrans trucks
Okay,
going together, and somebody came screaming out of Indianola. And they couldn't, it would be stupid for them to merge. They couldn't have because there were rigs on the other side. They slow down. And you know that there was an attitude.
Sure.
You just, you know, but they ended up getting in between vehicle number two and number three. And yeah, all right. Maybe lesson learned. Maybe not.
Yeah. That's a terrible place to be, being behind a big rig, you know, a tractor or trailer that has the big, you know, towing the big box truck behind them, because you can't see anything. You can't see anything that's happening ahead of you. And it's always good to be away from those people so that you can see what's going on ahead of you, because you can't see around those big rigs. And if you're behind a, you know, a big Caltrans dump truck, you can't see around that vehicle. And it's always good to be able to see far ahead of you.
A little bit of wiggle room.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully nobody will need wiggle room this weekend either.
Yes.
Thanks for coming by, Brett.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
We've been talking shop this afternoon. Oh, and you can put your whistle on now. With Brett Fabrini. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.